Matthew chapter 11, verse number 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Last week we sung the song, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. I pray that that phrase and statement from that song will be the commitment of every believer in here this morning. I hope that in addition to all the prayers and confessions that we utter in the presence of God and in the presence of each other, that we will say yes to Jesus and follow him. I may be guilty of not making a bigger deal of this, what I'm about to say. So let me begin this morning by saying that if you are here today, and you are trying to make sense of life, if you have been living life going here and going there and you don't know where you are, if you have found yourself in life to this point following the wrong people or the wrong system or wrong dreams and you feel lost, maybe you have tried all your life to get everything you've wanted. You've worked hard. You've made some good deals. You have a lot of stuff, but you still feel empty. Well, if you find yourself saying any of those things, may I introduce you to Jesus. Look, I don't want this to be a mystery. The reason I have given my life to ministry is to allow God to put me in situation and in a position to tell people about Jesus. My desire at the end of a worship gathering or at the end of a Bible class or at the conclusion of a church event is for people to be closer to Jesus Christ or closer to engaging with Jesus Christ. So let me be clear, and please hear my heart in this. I want us all to know Christ and come to a place where we say we will follow him, and wherever he leads us, we will follow. Now, last week we began our journey regarding discipleship and following Jesus. We talked about the way of discipleship. I ended last week's sermon and message by suggesting that we act more like children. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them. I encourage us to act more like children, to worship with wonder and amazement, to serve with eagerness, to practice what we learn from God with great excitement and not grumbling and anger, and to share God's message with everyone without prejudice. There is something about children and discipleship that prompted Jesus to tell us to receive the kingdom of God like children. So last week I invited us to become like children. And as children, might we be prepared to listen, to the call of discipleship. I have not made it a secret that our text from Matthew this morning has become one of my favorites. It's not that I don't enjoy and receive all the words of Jesus. There's just something about this text that I just read earlier that is so freeing. Yet freeing as this call that Jesus makes may be, it's still a call. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that Jesus throughout his ministry called people. That was his way. It has been God's way for a very long time to call people. God called Noah to build an ark. God called Abraham to be father of a great nation. God called Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. God called Joshua to lead his people into the promised land. God called Eli, Samuel, Samson, Deborah, and Othniel to lead Israel as judges. God called Saul and David to be king of Israel. God called Jonah to go preach to the Assyrians in Nineveh. God called Isaiah to preach to the wayward Israelites, a nation that had gone way off the path. God called Nehemiah to lead the rebuilding of the wall. God calls and people choose whether or not they're going to follow. That is his way. That has always been his way. We shouldn't be surprised that he still calls. And when it comes to discipleship, we have been called to follow. Jesus is in tune, complete union and harmony with God. And Jesus calls and people choose to follow or not to follow. That is his way. A glance through the Gospels would validate this idea. Take, for instance, in Matthew chapter 4, we looked at this last week, where he says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. In verse number 21, they were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left and left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse number 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. In Mark chapter 10, it says, "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. John chapter 1, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." You read the rest of the story. Philip and his brother Nathaniel indeed followed Jesus. It has been his way to call people, and they choose to say, "Yes, I'll follow," or "No, I will not." No surprises. It's the way of God's kingdom where Jesus is king, and this king is calling us to follow. And back to the text this morning in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, "God has revealed things to little children." Remember, I said we need to become children. "Come to me," Jesus says. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." It was his personal invitation to follow. It was a personal invite to not work for him, but to work with him. It was his personal invitation not to load your plate up with more stuff to do, but to allow yourself to become. It was his personal invitation for you to choose to follow and to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. This was a call to say and do what the Savior said and did. I mean an invitation to copy everything he did. We were invited to become copycats. I have daughters who enjoy the copycat game. I have daughters who enjoy yelling out to us, Mom, Dad, Kira's copying me. Mom, Dad, Caitlin's copying me. She's saying exactly what I said. She's doing Mom, she's getting the same pop I want. We've been called to become children. Jesus is calling us to become copycats. And since Jesus is calling us to be copycats, he's inviting us to completely trust in God for everything. Because see, that's what Jesus did. Jesus trusted in God for everything. So as copycats, he's inviting us to trust God for everything. In his famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, preaching to his disciples, he says, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you not much more value? Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think that's one of the reasons why we sing songs like All to Jesus I Surrender. I'm not sure we really believe what we're singing there. Because I don't think we take time enough to think about what all are we willing to surrender to Jesus, because we're worried about losing things, aren't we? We're worried about, if I get rid of that now, man, I'm never going to enjoy. You see, as copycats of Jesus, we've been invited not to worry about that stuff. We've been invited to completely, wholeheartedly trust in God. So many things we've been invited to do. We've been invited to be friends. Jesus was the most sought after figure during his day. Why? Because he gave himself to others. We have been invited to be a copycat, invited to give ourselves to others. In the Gospel of Mark, which if you're in the class on Sunday mornings, you're going to start looking at the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is one of those books. It's a reading that goes really quick. It's a fast-paced gospel. And Mark starts off, and Jesus gets right into his ministry. At the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, there's a unique trilogy of stories there. There's the story of Jesus ministering to a leper, the story of Jesus ministering to a paralyzed man, and then Jesus ministering to Levi, the tax collector, this leper who was an outcast, who when people came near him, the leper was supposed to cry out, unclean. You know, someone said that the modern day translation of saying unclean is saying, hey, I'm nasty, stay away. And if people saw him, they had the right to say, he's nasty, stay away from him. But Jesus not only ministered to the nasty man, he touched him. And then there's these guys who bring this paralyzed man through the roof of someone's house, and And they were so compassionate about their friend that they brought him to Jesus so he could do something with them, heal him perhaps. And Jesus forgave the man of his sins, and then he was healed. He was able to pick his own bed up and walk away. Then he reaches out to a tax collector, those who everyone just hated, those who everyone spent so much time trying to stay away from. He said, follow me. I want you to be with me. We've been called to be copycats. We've been called to go to the quote-unquote nasty people. We've been called to be agents of healing, getting people the healing that they need, to be agents of healing. We've been called to go out and reach out and tell the people that no one wants to be part of their group. Hey, be a part of our group. We've been called to be copycats, church. As copycats, we've been called and invited, among other things, to pray. I love that Jesus took time to teach his disciples to pray. And while we're giving these instances in scripture and the gospels, you know, we call it the Lord's Prayer. I'm sure there were more than one or two instances where Jesus took time to teach his disciples to pray. But I love the prayer that we have. It's a prayer that has become particularly special to me, more special to me as I read it. When we look at the Lord's Prayer that starts off with Our Father, when he's teaching his disciples to pray, he's saying, I want you to be a copycat. My Father, the Father that I'm always talking about, has all this power. My Father that I keep talking about, we have this great connection with. My Father who listens to me and we have communication with one another. I want to invite you not only to just pray to this Father, I want you to call him your Father. Have you ever thought about that blessing? That Jesus says, I want you to call my Father your Father. In this prayer where he says, thy kingdom come, crying out to this Father about his kingdom and his kingdom making its way and making its place here on earth and here in our hearts. And we've been invited to participate in the kingdom, not just as adherents or citizens. We've been invited to have full participation in the kingdom. It's not that we're just residents in this kingdom and we pay tribute and we pay taxes and let others do what they need to do for us. Jesus is saying, no, you fully participate in the kingdom work. How many other kingdoms do you know invites all the people into their kingdom's work? Thy will be done, he prays. We've been invited again to give God control, not to worry about stuff. Forgive us in that prayer, inviting us to forgive others. Such a liberating activity. I can go on and on and on. Jesus calling us to be a copycat. Jesus was a servant. And as a disciple, we've been invited and called to serve. Jesus was a healer. And as a disciple, we have been invited to be agents of healing. Jesus was a teacher. And as disciples, we've been invited and called to teach. Jesus was one with the Father. So we as his disciples have been called and invited to love, to become one with the Father. Jesus loved in a revolutionary way. So we as disciples have been invited and called to love in revolutionary ways. Jesus didn't discriminate on the basis of talent, social status, or gender. So we as disciples have been invited and called to be welcoming to other cultures, people off in other social statuses, and not to discriminate on the basis of gender or race. We have been called and invited to go to the last and to the lost and to the least. And we have been invited and called, and this is why I love Matthew 11 and verse 25 through 30. We've been invited and called to rest. Jesus did not come to give you more stress or more work or more heavy burdens. Jesus came to free us from bondage, from sin, from doubt, from worry, from fear. Jesus asks us to take his yoke. That is quite simply to become his disciple, his follower, and learn from him. And Jesus is gentle, he says about himself, not domineering, and not asking you to do what he is not first willing to do. Unlike the many religious teachers who burden their followers with more laws and more traditions, Jesus, the humble, the meek, gently leads his followers to rest. Doesn't mean that there are no costs. We'll talk about that next week, the cost of discipleship. But Jesus' demands are unlike any demands ever leveled against mankind. His yoke, his teaching, his way, his burden is light when compared to the demands of trying to make it in this world. The truth is, many have fallen victim. Many of us, I included, have fallen victim to trying to meet the demands of this life in this world. We're beat up and we're tired. And so Jesus offers rest. He offers his disciples rest first, so disciples can go and offer the same rest to the world in the name of Jesus. So will you listen and follow his call today? His call to be just like him. His call to be a copycat. Not a call to get all the things you want, but a call to receive everything you need. Not a call to get your way, but a call to follow a restful way. Not a call to grow weary from doing more and giving more, but a call to understand the unbelievable blessing of forsaking all to follow Jesus and find rest. So my question to you today is, will you follow him today? Will you listen to his call today? In a moment, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 11, text we read again from the Message. I want to invite you to just close your eyes and just listen to Jesus speak to you. Will you follow him today? Will you give him your heart today? Will you say yes to his offer for you to wear his yoke and learn of him? Close your eyes and just listen to Jesus. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. You can open your eyes, put your head up if you want to. I remember a couple months ago when I went away on my week retreat and sat at lunch table with my retreat host. And before we ate dinner, haystacks. Anyone ever had haystacks? It's ground beef and Doritos and lettuce. How come every sermon has to have a food reference in it? That's why I did that. We're about to eat this haystack, this big plate of food. And he said, "Let me read something for you." And he read that. And I just felt like doing one of these. Are you burned out? Tired? Are you worn out? Jesus is saying, exhale. And follow me. Follow me. Watch how I do it. Jesus didn't have a home. Jesus didn't have a pretty good income. Some say he died. Jesus was ridiculed by his family. But he trusted God. Jesus wasn't worried about trying to move up the social ladder. Jesus wasn't worried about trying to get all the big things. He wasn't trying to accumulate stuff. He trusted God. He said, stop all that fast-paced living that we're living. Find some rest. So it's called this morning, as we close this morning, it's not to do more stuff, not to put any more pressure on yourself than you already have. It's enough pressure just trying to be a husband. It's enough pressure just trying to be a wife. It's enough pressure just trying to be a mother. It's enough pressure just trying to be a good employee. It's enough pressure just trying to be a good church member. Jesus is not trying to offer you more pressure, more stress. Follow me and find some rest. So let's become like little children. Follow his call. Will you say yes to Jesus and follow him? We'll pray one more time. Then we'll sing this song, Lord, I Give You My Heart. If you're in a place where you need to give Jesus something that you've been holding back, if you're in a place where you need to surrender everything, not just a few things, you want to surrender all, if there's something that is just getting in the way, and you need us to help you pray to get that stuff out of the way so that you can follow, to cast off all the weights that's stopping you from following Jesus, we want to be family with you and help you do that today. So let's pray, and then we'll stand and we'll sing this song. Jesus, I thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Jesus, may your words truly launch us into a life of freedom and not another case of bondage or slavery. Thank you for being able to call Lord Father. You've invited us to have a relationship with the Father, intimate relationship. You've invited us to be one with him as you are one with him. Holy God, whatever is in our heart right now that it's clouding our heart, that's making it difficult for us to clearly see your Son. It's ever in our heart that's causing us to resist following you. God, we're praying that you would bust it up right now. You'd break our hearts. You'd break us. God, oftentimes that's painful. But we know with you there's healing. We know that in Jesus there is rest. So God, for those of us who are just worn out and tired and burnt out on religion, help us to clearly see you. Father, we will continue to make this commitment. We gather together to pray that wherever you lead us, we will follow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand with me and let's sing the song.